John Williams on WCCO Radio. So the market's been up and down, up a little bit again today, which is nice. You've heard me talk about Bain O'Leary, and on a phone line right now is Craig Bain. He's the Senior Vice President and Managing Partner with Bain O'Leary in Edina and elsewhere. Craig, it's John Williams. How are you?
Great, John. It's nice to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us. I also reached out to Bob Westrick, the President and CEO of WNA Wealth Advisors of Hinsdale, Illinois. Bob has joined me on the radio many times to talk about money and finances. Bob, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, John. Nice to speak with you again.
So, guys, here's my question. Craig, I've been doing commercials for you on the radio, and you and I, in fact, sat down for sort of a long get-to-know-each-other. You made a presentation to me, as you do with some of your clients, and you were surprisingly bearish. You are down on the market. It's been up a little bit since we've met. Maybe we should meet more often, Craig. Have you changed your opinion since when I sat down with you a couple of weeks ago and the Dow was closer to 15,000?
No, John, we haven't. I'd like to say that I would be in a position to change my mind, but long term here, we see more trouble.
Well, in fact, you really think it's come down, and you think it's going to go down quite a bit more.
We certainly look at this data on a regular basis. It would suggest that the market needs to drop by about 60 points to get down into a range where it would reset and start the climb into a new bull market.
You said 60 points.
60 points.
You don't mean 60 points on the Dow. You mean 60 percentage points?
I mean 60 percentage points.
You think that the Dow needs to go back and might sit as much as 60%?
Yes.
Bob Westrick, what's your reaction to that?
I certainly don't see that. I look at data and numbers quite a bit myself, and our firm does the same. There's a glut of both technical and fundamental indicators available right now, and many of them conflict each other. Okay, we don't see that at all. And I'm not saying I'm a bull. I'm not saying I'm a bear. I'm saying I'm relatively agnostic. When we go about, investing for our clients, it's all about diversification, patience, and time. And, I think of a quote, and I've used this in our investment committee meetings a couple of times. It's by Mark Twain, and he famously said, "It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so." And I've seen that in the past where you think you know something for sure, and you trade on it, and it just ain't so, and things go south in a hurry. I mean, we saw that. People thought, for instance, for decades, real estate just couldn't go down. Buy houses, flip houses. We know this for sure. Real estate can't go down. It doesn't. And that's true until it just ain't so.
Bob's position is very similar to a lot of the talking points that you hear coming off of Wall Street on various financial news networks. They've got a vested interest, and I'm not suggesting Bob and his firm do, but many of the talking heads on Wall Street and on the financial shows, they have a vested interest to keep people active and invested in the marketplace. And, if you just look at the S&P 500, nearly half or more of the stocks that make up the S&P 500 are already in what would be considered a bear market. They're down 20%. It's only the big guys, Amazon, Facebook, Google, companies like that, that are propping up and supporting the S&P 500. But we think eventually the entire index of 500 stocks will be into bear territory and fall even deeper than what is considered to be a bear market at 20%.
Bear markets come, bear markets go. It's part of investing. It's always been the view of our firm. It's when you try to predict them that that you get into trouble.
Do you think of yourself as a market timer, Craig?
Not at all.
This is a market timing call, though. I mean, you may not call yourself a market timer, but you're making a call here.
What we're doing is we're telling our clients, which, by the way, our makeup of clients potentially is different than your firm's, Bob. We're dealing with people that are already retired or close enough to retirement that they can ill afford taking on undue risk with their money. So what we're telling them is that we're moving to a defensive position. And you know what? Nothing would make me happier than to be wrong on this. But if we are wrong, our clients potentially miss out on maybe a 5% gain in their portfolio this year. But if we're right, potentially we save them from having a 60% drop in market value.
Craig, where I kind of just take exception to that is you say if we're wrong that they only miss on 4 or 5% upside. You say that as though it's a fact. Well, it's not a fact. To say that the choices that potentially by going to cash or something right now, that you save yourself a 40 to 50% decline, and really just the opportunity cost of that going to cash is only 4 to 5%.
Yeah.
Well, just because you say that doesn't mean that's true. And once again, I go back to Mark Twain's quote. You know, what you know for sure just may not be so.
But what's the opportunity cost, Bob? You think it could do better than 4 or 5%?
Certainly the upside could be more. I'm not saying it will. I have no idea what the upside is going to be.
I'm not suggesting that what we're doing is pulling all of our clients' assets off the table and holding them in cash. We are, though, going to defensive positions where we're not exposing our clients to a great deal of risk. We just believe that this is not a time to be thinking that you're going to grow your portfolio significantly. This is a time when you need to be, at least if you're a client that we're working with, you need to be focused on preserving your capital.
But, you know, on the other side of not being able to afford, you know, a big downturn and reduction in their portfolio, which is true, also, people are living a lot longer, and they cannot afford not to accumulate wealth or at least keep up with inflation on a year-by-year basis.
We agree on a number of things as it relates to our industry, the market overall, how you go about planning for successful retirement. Where we probably differ is that, you know, Bob doesn't have as bearish outlook on the market as I do and that my firm does.
I just think that there's a much larger opportunity cost than maybe you're thinking that there is. I mean, right now, if you look at the U.S. economy, you know, the U.S. economy right now is doing fine. You know, we're projected to grow, you know, 2-2.5%. It's not, you know, it's not fantastic, but it's not bad. You know, we created, you know, about 2.5 million jobs last year, and some can argue they're not the greatest jobs, and they're not. A lot of retail, a lot of hospitality. I get that. But, you know, home sales, you know, are doing great. Car sales are doing great. Retail sales are up. Consumers are starting to spend some of that energy-saving, you know, dollars that they've had. You know, workers' compensation is up 4.7% over a year ago. So not only are there more workers, but the workers that are there are making more money. Interest rates are still extremely low, and it's still hard to get a mortgage, actually, but it's getting a little bit easier. You know, that's thawing a little bit. Industrial production is up. Durable good orders, like I said, are up. You know, our non-manufacturing sector, our service sector, has been expanding for 72 consecutive months. That's pretty amazing. Banks are well capitalized, and corporations have record amounts of cash.
Quite honestly, the market is literally screaming right now with warning signals that a defensive positioning is appropriate.
For instance,
another thing I could point you to would be the Q ratio. It's nothing more than the price of the market divided by the total replacement cost of its companies. Historically, that's around 0.68. But right now, it's over 1. It's actually at 1.04. The higher the number, the more dire story that it's telling. The market's not going in the direction that Bob would suggest that it is. We went an entire decade where the market moved sideways, 2000 to 2010. And quite frankly, what we saw as a bounce after 2009, it's there because of artificial stimulation from our government, pumping in trillions of dollars that came from running up our national debt. In addition to that, they lowered interest rates to zero. Look what happened to the market as soon as they stopped quantitative easing and they raised interest rates. The direction of the market shifted course. We're significantly lower than we were at the end of May, beginning of June last year. And we think that that trend will continue.
Do you think the $1 trillion in student loans out there are another version of the housing bubble, or is that overstated?
Absolutely. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. We're going to see another real estate bubble, in our opinion. There's just far too many warning signs and signals telling us that things are not headed in the direction we would want. Look at the stock markets around the world. Most every developed country that has a market, their markets are in turmoil. And global markets impact the U.S. markets and vice versa. One of our biggest trading partners, China, their economy is it's not doing well at all. They told us they were at 6.9 GDP when the real number is probably closer to 4. So there's just so much data out there that doesn't bode well for the market. And all we're telling our clients is that we think it's time to be more cautious and take a defensive position. That doesn't mean being completely into cash and out of the market, but it does mean paying closer attention to it and not throwing caution to the wind.
That's Craig Bain.
John?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, China's talked about a lot, and Craig just brought it up. Imagine, if you will, a huge manufacturing economy in Asia. It's growing really fast. It becomes the second largest economy in the world, in a few short decades, and they produce 14% of all global output. Okay, that's China, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not. That's not China. That's Japan. And in 1990, Japan basically imploded. Okay, it collapsed and really hasn't risen a whole lot since.
They haven't recovered, okay? Have they, Bob?
No, they haven't. But what did that do? What happened when the second largest economy and someone who's producing 14% of all global output imploded? The U.S. roared. The economy roared. The markets roared. We had a short 9-month recession in July of 1990, but it didn't really have anything to do with Japan. I think that we're a little overly worried about China. I mean, just our export to China is less than 1% of the U.S. GDP. I hear everything about China and the worries about China. I think China is overblown. And going back just to consumer debt, and even student loan debt. Right now, consumer debt service ratio, which is consumer's share of after-tax income that they need to make monthly debt payments, like on mortgages and all other types of consumer debt, credit card and all that stuff, is near the lowest level it's been since the early 1980s. So consumers right now are not in really bad shape. And you go back and you talk about student loan debt, for all these millennials, there's 92 million millennials. And if you say there's $1 trillion worth of student loan debt, that's, if I'm doing my math right, if I got the zeros right, that's a little over $10,000 per millennial. That's manageable. That's manageable. Mm. I mean, what we always hear about these people with the student loan debt who've got $172,000 and blah, 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 but your average student loan debt is nowhere even near that. Is it an issue? Sure, it's an issue. Is it manageable? Yes, we think it's manageable. So I don't really... consider that argument as something that's going to, take down this economy.
Let's do this, guys. Let's wrap it up this way. Give me your elevator speech. I started with you, Craig. I'll go to you, Craig, and then I'll let you, Bob, get in the last word here. But
sure.
So give me your 30-second elevator speech about all of this, Craig, and then just sort of, back to your defensive position about it. What's the elevator speech about the economy and what to do about it, Craig?
Well, we think there's far too much uncertainty about the economy right now. I think many of our U.S. companies would tell the best story about that. They're not making the investments in capital expenditures and plant production and expansion. They're not adding significantly to their workforces. If anything, we're seeing a reduction in headcount at a lot of companies. They're hunkering down. They're planning for some rough water ahead. They don't know what their tax is going to look like going forward. So these are worrisome to corporate America. However, put that aside and just say, where's the economy headed? We don't think that it's headed in a position where it's going to cause the stock market to rise significantly this year. If anything, just the opposite will happen. So as we look to the clients that we work with and that we have a fiduciary responsibility to, we're telling them that we think the prudent approach is to be more defensive. If we're wrong, we think you may miss out on maybe a 5% gain in the market. But if we're right and we've prevented you from incurring a 40, 50, 60% or greater loss, then I think we're doing our job for our clients.
How about you, Bob?
I'm going to go back, John, to what I said as an opener. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that you just ain't so. what we know about the markets, where they're going to go, nobody knows. And if you start thinking you do know, we believe that's when you're putting client capital at risk. If you really think the market may be going down, adjust your clients' asset allocation such that there's still plenty within their portfolios that they could live on comfortably to give the rest of the portfolio that may go down, X amount, plenty of time to recover, which we've always done and which always has worked. So I would just say, once again, investing is about diversification, patience, and time. And then on top of that, and I think Craig agreed with me on there, don't just focus on investment returns in your portfolio, but really, 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 and most people don't, do your retirement planning, do your estate planning, do your tax planning, your college planning, because these things add a lot of value and a lot of dollars into your pocket that otherwise you don't need to get from your portfolio.
That's Bob Westrick. He's the president and CEO of WNA Wealth Advisors, WNA Wealth Advisors of Hinsdale, Illinois. And joining us, of course, too, is Craig Bain, the senior vice president and managing partner of Bain O'Leary, B-A-N-E, Bain O'Leary of Edina, Minnesota. Fellas, really helpful. A lot of information there. Fascinating. I sure appreciate your time.
It was a pleasure. Craig, John, thank you so much.
Same back to you, Bob. And John, it's always good to be with you.